Good morning. Today's reading comes from Philippians 4, verses 1 to 9. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the peace of God will be with you. Sorry, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
May God guide what I say, what we all hear, and then what we all do as we move from church into our weeks. Amen. Joy, 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 joy. Now, Adam, when did you do joy, joy, joy over Christmas? When did you sing it? What service was it? Can you remember? Because we were thinking about it the other day. The Nativity. Yeah. So we listened to you singing, and it was better than Rend Collective. Definitely better. If you want a good version, that's a good one. But yours was equally, if not, yeah, better, better. So I want to talk about joy today. Joy for the here and now, and lasting joy. Paul was talking to the Philippians, and he was very aware. He loved the Philippians, absolutely loved that congregation. And he was aware that people were going sometimes in different directions, and they weren't always together. They all weren't always following the God's word. And he wanted them to be together. He wanted them to be a group together and to follow his word. And he talked particularly to two women who you pronounced beautifully, and I wouldn't even try again. And the trouble with those two women was they were going their different directions, and God wanted them to link together and to work for the community following Jesus' word. And Paul was trying so hard for that and wanted that so very, very much. The message in that verse was for gentleness to be known to everyone. Paul wanted to us to show and the Philippians to show that gentleness was a key indicator that we understood the Lord's message to us and God's message to us. And he was saying the Lord is near, and he was also saying don't worry about anything. Lots was happening then. Lots is happening now, but saying don't worry about anything. Because God's peace surrounds us, and it's past all understanding. And that links to joy, doesn't it? Having that deep conviction within us that all those things are true. So joy, a central point for Paul. If we look through the verses, constantly praying with joy. Joy in faith, joy that we have faith, joy in that. Having joy by having the same mind and the same intent, linking together. And he called them, didn't he? He called the congregation his joy and his crown. shows real love. So if we could measure joy, if we could measure our own joy, if we could measure our joy in this building here now, all of us together, do we need more? Do we need less? What do we think? More. If I can hear mores. Okay. Okay, so are we too often focused on sin instead of celebrating that we are forgiven? Do you think? A few nods. Okay. Do we complain too often about the lack of holiness within us instead of remembering that we are all children of God? Are we too frustrated by feelings of weakness instead of being delighted about the strength of the Holy Spirit working in us? What's our thoughts on all of that? I'll leave you to ponder on that one. I go for more myself. But the joy that Paul had in mind, it wasn't superficial joy. It wasn't superficial at all. He said in the next chapter, chapter 4, I've learnt to be content with whatever my circumstances are. I'm happy with little as much as loads. I'm happy whether I'm full or I'm hungry, whether my hands are full or whether they're empty. And he talks about finding the recipe for being happy. And he says, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. God, Jesus our Lord. Resonates with the song we've just sung, doesn't it? I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. But joy is not the same as fun. Paul was countercultural. He didn't go for an easy, happy existence. He didn't. He showed this. He was persecuted, beaten, imprisoned, and in the end his faith cost him his life. And that was very much the case and still continues to be. So it's not fun. It's deeper, much deeper than that. And I think sometimes looking at definitions of joy can be really quite helpful to help us to really, really appreciate what joy is and how it is different to happiness and to fun. So the definition I found in a dictionary, the emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. Exceptionally good and satisfying. Happiness is caused by luck, good fortune and worldly pleasures. Joy is caused by overall happiness and soul satisfying incidents. Soul satisfying. We know that, don't we? We know in our faith and our conviction and our love for we know God gives us, and in the knowledge that of Jesus on our earth and how he died for us, we know that. It's soul. It's in our soul. It's soul satisfying. We know. And I love this. Happiness merely pleases a person, whereas joy warms the heart. It's through us. It warms us, that joyfulness. Even in tough times, the joy of God within us. Now, I've been reading this book, surprisingly so. It's called The Book of Joy. And it is the most beautiful book. I can't actually finish it because I don't want it to finish, because I'm savouring it. I'm savouring every little bit of it. And I really, really commend it. I really recommend it to you. If you fancy reading a book, it's beautiful, beautiful book. It's a conversation between the Dalai Lama and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. They've got a good friendship over the years, and they meet together to talk about joy. And their conversation is recorded in this book, and it's absolutely gorgeous what they talk about. So I recommend it if you've got a few minutes to get another book on your bookshelf. Okay. And I hope you'll bear with me, because I want to read a couple of pages, and it'll take me a bit of time, and I realised when I read it at the 9 o'clock it went on for a while. So please just bear with me, because it is absolutely gorgeous and I want you to get a flavour of it. Is that all right? Will you bear with me? Thank you. So, the Dalai Lama is talking about his life, and he's talking about the fact that he lived in a rural village in eastern Tibet, and at the age of 2, he was moved into the capital, into quite a posh place. It had 1,000 rooms in it. 1,000 rooms! Gosh. And he lived there in opulent isolation. And he was going to be the future spiritual and political leader of Tibet. Then, after the Chinese invasion in 1950, at the age of 15, he found himself to be the leader of 6 million people in the midst of war. He managed for 9 years in the midst of awful atrocity, and with a very heavy heart, because there was a massive uprising, he went into exile. Massive journey through sandstorms and windstorms and snowstorms, a bit like outside, climbed 19,000 foot mountains, and he escaped to India. And he explains to Desmond Tutu, many of us have become refugees in the world, and there's much suffering together. And he talks about the fact that if you look at the same events, if you just hold your own suffering, you can get very, very despondent, and you can go very, 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 very sad and very, very upset. But he talks about acknowledging that the suffering that you have is shared by many, many people. And he talks about changing anguish, the anguish that we hold inside ourselves, to compassion, because you link it with other people and you have compassion in that place. And that links to joy, doesn't it? And he talks about having different aspects to any event. He talks about the fact that, okay, I went into exile, it was really tough, but I learned such a lot. I learned such a lot being in the midst of so many different people, spiritual practices, and learned lots of different cultural things. And he said, instead of staying in that golden cage, he calls it, the holy Dalai Lama, that massive 1,000-room palace all by myself. I've been a refugee for 50 years, and it's given me so much. I've learnt so much. I've had so much opportunity for living. But he said you can also look at that and see it as a terrible tragedy. Two sides to looking to it. And I just want to share this saying with you, because it's just gorgeous. He said, wherever you have friends, that's your country. And wherever you receive love, that's your home. Well, Desmond Tutu was listening to all of this, and this is what I'm going to read from the book, if you please bear with me. Desmond Tutu was listening to all of this, and he says, what you said is quite wonderful. I think I'll just add to it to say to our brothers and sisters out there, anguish and sadness, in many ways, are things you can't control. They happen. They do, they just happen. It's part of life. There's going to be frustrations in life. The question is not how do you escape, it's how, the answer is, how can I use this as something positive? Just as you, Your Holiness, he's talking to Dalai Lama, have described, nothing I can think of is more devastating than being turfed out of your own country. "By all rights, Dalai Lama," he said, "you should be a sourpuss." The Dalai Lama looks at him and says, "You what? What's that?" He says, "It's when you make that face, Dalai Lama," and I've seen the Dalai Lama do this. He scrunkles up his eyes and pushes his lips up like that, and he looks like a sourpuss. Have you seen? Yeah. Yeah. And then when you smile, he says to him, "Your face lights up." And it's because, in a very large measure, you've transmuted what that would have been totally negative into goodness. Because you've not said, "Well, how can I be happy?" You've not said that. You've said, "How can I help to spread compassion and love?" And people come and listen to that. And Archbishop Desmond Tutu says, "I want to add something extra." He says, "I hope we can convey to God's children out there how deeply they are loved and how deeply, deeply precious they are to God. Even the despised refugee whose name no one seems to know, I see pictures of them fleeing from violence and for so much of it. Look at the children," Desmond says. "I say that God is crying because that is not how God wanted us to live. But you see, again, even in those circumstances, you have people who come from other parts of the world to try to help to make things better. And through the tears, God begins to smile. And when God sees you and hears how you try to help God's children, God smiles." The Archbishop was now beaming, and he whispered the word "smile" as if it were the holy name of God. And the book goes on and on in that way. It's beautiful. So, the Book of Joy, the joy of compassion in linking with fellow people, and the knowledge that God cries when things are tough, in the knowledge that we can all make things better by linking together in God's name. So it's hard to be joyful when we're stressed, when we worry, when we're anxious. And Desmond Tutu, very often through the books, talks about how nowadays we've prioritised independence. When we think we can manage all by ourselves, we can't. We can't manage by ourselves. We have a very loving, loving God who's there with us. He talks about stress and ambition in modern life. And he says, Stress, let go of it. What we actually need, what we thrive on, is love and connection. Don't get carried away with the march, the anxious strive. Find inner peace. So much of our stress is feeling that we're independent. We see ourselves from being separate from other people. Desmond Tutu talks about the fact that he has awful insomnia and he lays awake at night unable to sleep. Things are going through his mind, he can't rest. I get that. And he says, "I could get really, really anxious about it, but I don't. I lay there and know I'm not alone, and I pray for everybody else in the same position that I'm in." So, the message behind: see yourself as part of a bigger whole. Take the path of joy. Be connected. Don't take the path of sorrow. Don't go into separation. Don't go your own way. Stay with God, connected to your fellow friends, your work people, your family. Keep connected. Don't go separate. There's no challenge that we can't face together. God gave us freedom. God gave us freedom to go. And we can choose, and people do choose, awful, awful choices, awful atrocities. And God weeps. He weeps until we try and do something. And there is fantastic capacity for goodness. We need to hold on to that goodness. We need to show that goodness, the goodness that God and our faith strengthens us. Archbishop Tutu says, "You know that human beings are basically good. God made us good. And that's where we have to start. So do what you can on your front line. Shine. Shine as children of God. It takes time. We do have setbacks, but things get better. Look," says Desmond Tutu, "women's rights, the improvements, not perfect, not everywhere, but getting better." And he says also, slavery, it was morally justified, still happening, but it's getting better because people are making changes. So joy, 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 here, now, and real and lasting joy. Real and lasting joy. And Paul has so much to say about that. And it comes from the confidence that no matter what happens, we are inseparably connected to God and we're saved. We're saved through Jesus. We're saved through our faith and our knowledge and our love that God gives and we share. Lasting joy. And Paul could rejoice. He could rejoice even in tough, tough times because he did not fear death. And that's what happened. He was countercultural and he was killed. And he says in Romans, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" No. None of us, none of that will separate us from the love of Christ. And that knowledge that Paul had gave him that certainty. The certainty that we can hold, the certainty that he wanted for those Philippians. So go, be joyful, through the tough and through the wonderful. In the certainty that Paul holds and shows us, nothing will separate us, nothing. Amen.